Welcome back to From Scratch, a podcast that explores the world of STEM and startups. Today, we will be joined by Lieutenant Colonel Marisol A. Chalas, who is a Lieutenant Colonel at Parks Reserve Forces Training Area. LTC Chalas was born in Bani, Dominican Republic, and moved to the United States with her family to Massachusetts at the age of 9. She began her military career as an enlisted soldier in July 1990. In 2001, she received a commission as second lieutenant in the aviation branch from the Georgia Military Institute Officer Candidate School. LTC Chalas has operations and strategic experience at the United States Army Forces Command and Headquarters Department of the Army level. LTC Chalas's international duties entail battle captain and platoon leader during Operation Iraqi Freedom and aviation liaison in the Dominican Republic under a combined joint task force. Other assignments include Lean Six Sigma Advisor, Force Management, and Exchange Officer serving with the Canadian Forces in Kingston, Ontario, Canada, and two rotations as Company Commander. LTC Chalas has been the Garrison Commander of the Parks Reserve Forces Training Area since June of 2022. In March, she was identified for promotion to the next rank of Colonel. Hey, so I just want to start off. What inspired you to go into the military?
What inspired me to go into the military is I'm an immigrant. I was born in Dominican Republic. I moved to the U.S. at the age of 9. And once I realized that I wanted to go to college, I had to figure out a way to pay for it. And the military was definitely a venue that helped me not only pay for college, but it also gave me discipline and it's given me opportunity beyond my wildest dreams.
So what, you're in the Army right now?
I'm in the Army Reserve. Yes.
So what drew you into the Army instead of the Marines or the Navy?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Every service has a mission, but for me, I always loved the Army. It's something about the pride, the uniform, although the other services have nice uniforms too. But to me, the Army, I was fascinated by it in the role that the Army does.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you were part of the aviation branch?
I am, yes.
How was it? Did you fly helicopters or planes?
So just to give you a background, when I first joined, this is where I am today. So when I first joined, I was an enlisted. I was non-commissioned, and I was a finance person. After being a finance, that was my job, my MOS, as they call it, military occupational specialty. After I was finance, I actually went into the military intelligence branch. And then when I moved to California the first time back in the 90s, my commander at the time, her name was Captain Cron. Now she's a retired colonel. But when I walked in her unit, I was still enlisted with an engineering degree. And she's like, hey, why don't you pursue becoming an officer? So I actually did the 18-month of officer candidate school, and I was given the MOS, the Military Occupational Specialty of Aviation. And I was able to attend flight school at Fort Rucker, Alabama. Now it's called Fort Neuville. And I am rated in flying the Black Hawk helicopter.
Oh, that's nice. That's really, inspiring, I would say. You mentioned you had an engineering degree. What do you major in?
So I actually went to a merchant marine school, right? So people are like, okay, you're in the Army, but you went to a merchant marine school that has ships. I majored in marine engineering, which is working in the engine room of ships. However, when I graduated from Mass Maritime Academy, that was where I received my undergrad, Massachusetts Maritime Academy, I was hired by General Electric to work on nuclear reactors. So it's been a very, I guess, a different type of career path. Even though I'm Army, I went to Merchant Marine School, did internship on ships, and ended up working on nuclear reactors.
That's really nice. Because that actually reminds me, one of my teachers in school was she worked with nuclear reactors a lot, and then teaching is a retirement, which is surprising to me because I think that would be exhausting. But that's really nice. So could you describe your college journey? Because that's one of the things that I'm going to college next year. So that's one of the things that's very I don't know, intriguing for me. Like, I really want to know how people's college experiences were.
Okay. So first of all, just so you know, I didn't have plans to go to college. As I mentioned earlier, I was an immigrant, and my parents were just happy that we were staying out of trouble. But it was at my physics teacher in high school, Mr. Linehan, who encouraged me to be an engineer. So I actually, when Mass Maritime came to my high school, Lynn Classical, I was just in love with the school. The fact that you could wear a uniform, you can become an engineer, you can travel the world. So I was bought. I will tell you that my college experience at Mass Maritime will be different than, say, if you were going, I don't know, to Berkeley or to Stanford, because we were a paramilitary academy. So I wore a uniform, we had regiments where we had to get up a certain time, do physical fitness, salute the flag, et cetera, et cetera. But I think for me, the college experience in itself, I'm very grateful that I pursued it. I will tell you, I did take a year off after my freshman year because I went from doing well in high school, but college was a little challenging the first year, and I had to take a year back, reassess, and come back. But that was not a bad thing because look where I am today. But it was different. But I will tell you that my college mates that I still have, that from Mass Maritime, and I graduated in 1996, were still very close.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I hope to be like that after I graduate college. So yeah, you said you traveled abroad when you were in like were you in the aviation branch then or?
So I've had the up. I didn't become an officer and started flying helicopter until I was out of Massachusetts Maritime Academy. But I did travel a lot with Massachusetts Maritime Academy. I travel a lot overseas when I worked for General Electric. All my jobs were international. And then obviously being in the Army, I've had the opportunity to work in other places such as Canada and Dominican Republic.
How was your international experience like? What's your most memorable memory?
Oh boy, I loved it. I'll tell you some of the countries that we travel at Mass Maritime. It was mostly Europe. So we did Italy, Spain, let's see, Edinburgh. Boy, I'm trying to think of other places. We traveled to so many places and it was just amazing, especially when you get to port, being there, seeing a different culture, eating the awesome food that each country had to offer. And when I worked for GE Nuclear, I had the opportunity to work in Japan, Taiwan, Spain, Mexico. Those were pretty amazing. And then with General Electric, I have had the opportunity also, different various opportunities to travel to Latin America, South America. And like I said, with the Army, I was actually stationed in Canada for 2 years, and I really loved that experience working with the Canadian forces.
Was there any particularly like not memorable but like experience that's really stood out to you that like was I don't know, life changing?
I would say, well, I did deploy to Iraq back in the early 2000s. So definitely that's a different experience. But I still remember just talking to the locals and learning about them, especially the kids. And then one of the missions that I really, to me, is probably the most memorable and most rewarding is the fact that I was able to do a humanitarian mission in Dominican Republic. That's where I was born. So I actually went there as an American officer, as a pilot, and I would work with the engineers and the doctors and go out to the various communities to translate for them to, they were doing basic medical services. And then the engineers from Puerto Rico actually built three clinics. So that to me was very memorable, being there as an American soldier, giving back to the country that I was born in.
That sounds like a very heartwarming experience. So one thing that I was wondering was that could you like tell us more about like the army, like what life's like, what the different opportunities, jobs are? Because it's a very like I feel like in Dublin at least, all the schools are telling pushing you to go into STEM, but like no one like ever looks at other opportunities such as like army, military, stuff like that.
So I actually was able to do both, right? I went into STEM, marine engineering, and I was in the Army. And I'm still doing both. So you have the opportunity to do both. And I will say the armed forces is very special. You are a public servant. So I'm going to give you the big picture. For the Army itself, we have active duty Army, which you can go to one of the academies, West Point, for example, for the Army, get your college degree, and then serve as an officer. You have the Navy. They have their academy in Indianapolis. It's in Maryland. So I might have said the wrong city, but it's in Maryland.
Yeah.
You have the Air Force Academy in Colorado. And Jim, did I miss any of the academies? The Coast Guard Academy also.
So the Coast Guard Academy is in Groton, Connecticut. The Naval Academy is in Annapolis, Maryland, West Point, and Colorado for the Air Force and Space Force, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Jim. And Jim is a public affairs officer. but yes, so each branch has its different job. So for me in the Army, so I'll speak more about the Army now. In the Army, you can be an active service member, which means that's your job 24/7. You can join the National Guard, which is the National Guard is a state-driven entity. So the governor runs the program, or you can be part of the Army Reserve, which I am. I'm a U.S. Army Reserve, after Guard Reserve officer. So I'm full-time for the Reserve. But if you choose to go to college, like I did traditionally when I was in college, I was in the service, but I would do the weekend, 1 weekend a month. And then in the summer, your annual training while you're out of school. So for somebody who's going into it, and I'll jump a little, but even if you, let's say you went to one of the academy, West Points, or colleges, Berkeley, I know they have a very strong Army ROTC program. So you're able to study STEM, science, engineering, anything you like, and still commission as an officer in the Army. So you're able to get both. You can commission as an active duty officer or be like me, be a part-time officer or active guard reserve. And one of the benefits of joining the military while you're in college, whether you do ROTC, which is you're a cadet for the 4 years that you're in college, or you're a part-time soldier like me, is the military helps you pay for college also. You have tuition, you have loan assistance. There's other benefits that might have changed. So that's a couple of the benefits that you have if you decide to follow a career in STEM, but still serve your country.
Oh, yeah. It's really, it's very helpful, I would say. You get to do so many different, like, opportunities and, like, try different things.
Yes.
Really nice.
And here's another thing that a lot of people, so like I told you, I am an immigrant. I moved to the States when I was 9. When I first joined the military, I wasn't a U.S. citizen yet. But I was a legal resident. So as long as you're a legal resident, you can join the military. Now, in order to become an officer, you must become a citizen. But by joining the military also helps you expedite your citizenship. So there's another option or another benefit.
Yeah. So you said you were located in, or you were platoon leader during the Operation Iraqi Freedom. So what was that like?
It was very interesting. It was one of my first jobs as an officer. I did get to fly the Black Hawk in Iraq, so that was pretty cool. But our mission primarily was to transport equipment, transport our soldiers from one location to another, or provide overwatch. And to me, like I said, I know we were in Iraq in that type of zone, but my biggest memories of being there, I remember whenever I landed in Babylon, especially the young kids, they're like, oh, there's a lieutenant. And I would sit down and talk to them. You know, they were just so fascinated, one, to see the Army talk to them and know that we're human, and secondly, for a female. So I was the only female pilot in my battalion. But every time I went there to the bazaar, as they called it, they were just fascinated. And I would just listen to them and talk to them.
Oh, that's nice. So you said you were the only female pilot. What was it like being like a woman? Because I know it's like very hard. I've watched movies and hopefully they're accurate, but like I've there's one I think on Netflix just added, I forgot what it's called, but yeah, I know it's very like hard being a woman in STEM and in the military. So what was your journey like? How did that affect you in any way?
So I will say I had some challenges, both even studying in school. My first job as an engineer with GE Nuclear back in the 90s, one of the gentlemen didn't really think I looked like an engineer or fit the mold, but eventually we became friends and I earned his respect. In aviation, it was a little challenging. obviously going overseas, right? But I was grateful that the team that I had was the same battalion that I trained with in the States. So I became like the little sister in a sense. Like I said, I won't say there weren't challenges, there were, but one advice that I would give you, whether you go into STEM, aviation, military, is as long as you know your profession, as long as you study and you are a subject matter expert in your profession, they can't take that away from you.
Thanks. Yeah. Hopefully it keeps growing with the women in STEM and like military. Because I think for me, it's in my engineering classes, we have 6 girls and I think like 26 guys. So it's like, it's growing a little better than my freshman year, but
Still, it's gotten better. I will say that when I graduated Mass Maritime, we were about 176 cadets. Mm-hmm. And of those, I believe we had like 11 females, but only 3 females were engineers. But it's gotten better. And same with aviation. When I went to flight school back then, the numbers were much lower than they are today. Mm-hmm. And especially in the military, we've opened our jobs to, there's no job that a female cannot apply for. You can be a ranger, you can be an infantry woman, et cetera. So I think both in the private sector and in the military, we are moving in the right direction. And like I said, as long as you know your profession, there's nothing that can stop you.
That's a wonderful message. I know a lot of people are like, well, a lot of women I know are very like, oh, we faced hardships, but like, thankfully it's growing. So it's nice.
Yes.
Yeah. So you also like were you Lean Six Sigma advisor? What is that actually?
So Six Sigma and Lean Six Sigma is actually a statistical process, and it started off in manufacturing. The vehicle, I believe Ford is the company that started it. And it's a way to reduce, to reduce mistakes in a sense. Six Sigma is having, and I can't remember the stats now because it's been a little while. I think it's like one error and 3.6 million opportunities. So that's a pretty big number. It's a process to help you. If you put this process in place, you're able to reduce a lot of mistakes. It's supposed to be more perfect. And I know starting in the automotive industry, which makes sense, right? The line is all automated, so you don't have a human being looking after everything. But I know General Electric, when I worked there, that became a very big effort and priority to ensure that we were practicing Six Sigma across the board and everything we do, whether it's working in a nuclear reactor or working in a medical system, because GE did work a lot with the medical system or aircrafts for the matter. And then in the military, we also took over that priority. And I have to stop for a second because one of my dogs, she wants my attention. So I'm going to bring up here. She's always in my interviews when I'm talking. So 1 second. I have 2, but this is Bella. Aww. She's the older one.
Cute.
Yes. But yeah, so Six Sigma is a process improvement. Process improvement, which allows the company to waste less money on redoing work, redoing business, and it just makes it more efficient across the board.
That's nice. So you picked up a bunch of different skills as in your time.
Yes. Yeah. And you can apply them everywhere.
So what do you think are like 3 big characteristics someone needs to be successful like in the Army?
So not just in the Army, but even in general, mm-hmm. whether you're at school studying, is, you know, we can all build 3 core competencies that will make you successful no matter where you are. For me, is I'm a self-starter, I'm driven, and I'm a team player. I think whether you're in college, characteristics are stay focused. Yes, you're there to work, yes, but you have to have a work-life balance, because if you mm-hmm. just study, you will burn yourself out. But stay focused, ask for help when you need help, because we don't know everything, and also offer help and be a mentor. As you continue to, especially in college, as you become a junior or senior, I think it is our duty to go back and try to encourage those freshmen who, some of them, it's the first time the first one from their family, like me, that attended college. So just stay focused. You will have challenges. just know that we all go through that. You pick yourself up. Adversity is part of life, but stay focused.
You sound like my mother. She's always like that. Yeah,
your
that's
mom
her, one
sounds
of
like
her
a
biggest.
great role model.
She is. Yeah, one of my biggest role models, actually. Yeah, that's one of her one worries, that when I go to college that I won't study, but I will.
I think you've done pretty well just being in high school. I mean, when I met you, when you came to Camp Parks, I was very impressed by your whole demeanor. I don't think I was as mature as you were, as you are when I was in high school. So good on
Oh,
you.
yeah. I think I'm just very inquisitive and want to know how
Yes.
everything works, which is
Be
why I'm
so.
going into engineering.
And you're going to be successful just for that reason.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So could you describe like a typical day in your life right now?
So my job now, I am the garrison commander of Camp Park. So my job is, it's almost, I compare it to either your principal in high school or to the mayor of a city, right? So my job, I have meetings in the morning. I have to make decisions that will affect not only our service members, but their family and our civilians. I have to ensure that we have, that our dining facility is working properly, which I know you ate there. I have to make sure our infrastructures are working. So a typical day is making decisions that will, so I guess like a CEO of a company, right? Making sure you're making the right decision for the installations and that you are advocating for the installation. So a typical day would be I go in, I have meetings. Sometimes it's just with the command team, which is just us, or with our hire, that's a 400 Liggett, or just with the entire staff to make sure we're communicating and prioritizing the job for the week, and also identifying what need, if there's something broken, how do we move forward and fix it?
Yeah, it seems like a
And a lot of
very
community.
intelligent.
Yeah, and I do
Yeah.
a lot of community engagement, just like I'm today, because that's very important to us. We need for you to understand what the Army does, right? Because we are an extension of your community. And that's why we open Camp Parks, so that you know we're all there, we're human. We leave Camp Parks, we go work with you, whether it's at the high school or just yesterday we did a tour of one of our sister ships, the Coast Guard, and that was very eye-opening for me.
Oh, that's nice. I love the visitor center at the beginning. Actually, it gives a lot of like history that I didn't even know of before
Yes.
I went on the field trip, but it's
Yes.
really wonderful. I love it.
And the
All people
History
go.
Center. Yes, the History Center is open to the public. So please,
Yeah.
if you know anyone who wants to come and learn about the 81 years of Camp Parks, it's a perfect
Oh
place
yeah.
to start.
It's crazy. So another like question I had was like, you said you were a garrison commander. What are like all the positions? Because I'm still like completely lost on like the terms of positions and what they do.
So as you transition, if you become an officer, as an officer, you be a platoon leader. So you're in charge of a small squad. Then as you become a more senior officer, I'm going to have to pause you for a second because you want some free. So
Yeah.
one second, I'm sorry.
Don't
And we
worry
can start
about
that
it.
question over again. This is the joys of being at home, right? With two doggies that are always kids.
Yeah, we'll see a handful.
Yes. So you were asking me the various jobs. So if you're, let's say like an officer, if you're an officer, you are platoon leader, so you're in charge of a small squad, then you become a company commander, you're in charge of a company. Once you, and these are the ranks of lieutenant and captains, as major, you're now considered a senior or, a more senior officer. So you can be an executive officer, be an operation officer. And then as you make the rank of lieutenant colonel, which I am, you can either be a battalion commander, which is made up of four companies, or garrison commander like I am, which is in charge of an installation. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it makes it so much more clear. Yeah. I'm not sure, actually. Do you have any advice for like high schoolers maybe wondering to pursue like a career in the military?
I'd say try it out. Like I know a lot of people don't join. Jim, I see text coming in, but I can't read them because I'm on my phone. So if you want to speak up. Sorry, Jim. Jim?
Sorry, ma'am. I just thought maybe you might want to clarify what a company is and how the command structure is at Camp Parks as Garrison Commander, Sergeant Major, DGC.
Okay, thank you. See, that's why you're here. So Camp Parks, per se, as a Garrison Commander, I have a command sergeant major. So the command team is made up of three. That's the primary. And the command sergeant major, he's the non-commissioned officer. He's the highest rank non-commissioned officer. And his job is to ensure that soldiers are doing the right thing. That, hold on one second, please. Sorry, my mom was trying to get the dogs and it was a little distracted. Command sergeant major, his job, he's a not the commission, the senior non-commissioned person. And what he does is he ensures that people are behaving, that no one's driving over the grass, that the policies that I as a commander put in place that are being followed. And then our deputy to the garrison commander is a civilian. And that job is to ensure continuity because the command sergeant major and the garrison commander were here for 2 years. But as the highest ranking civilian, she ensures that all the civilians have a voice and that we're taking into consideration the civilian's job. And then also that she promotes the civilians, ensure that they're taking the right classes, et cetera.
That's really nice. So when I had visited, there were so many different like groups and telling us about their journey and what they do. So could you like touch in about like some of those like groups of at the Army Reserve?
Yeah. So what you were able to experience is the entire staff that makes up the installation, right? You met with engineers that take care of our buildings. You also met with environmentalists because even though we're a military installation, we still have a responsibility to do right by our earth, right? So you have environmentalists. You also have the medical team. We have a large medical influence here, so part of STEM. You also were able to see some of our other jobs, like the band, an awesome band that gets to play at amazing events, like sing at the Warriors, attend all the ceremonies. And then there were other units that were supporting too, FEMA, which is part of our emergency management, federal emergency management. And they were there telling your job. So as an installation, we don't only have uniformed personnel. We have fire department who helps us. We have the family morale welfare services. They're almost like they're almost like the community that takes care of the family, ensures that there are events for the family, for the kids to maintain morale. You had an awesome dining facility. They ensure that we eat the proper food. We had the police department. And those are just a few of the people that you got to see. So it's made up not only of uniformed personnel, but also civilian personnel like Jim O'Donnell, who's a public affair, that support our mission.
That's nice. It's like a one big happy family working
together. That's what it is. Yes. Like, and that's why I say it's almost like being the mayor or manager of a city, right?
Yeah. It sounds like a handful, but it must be really fun, honestly. So, I don't have many other, I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else you wanted to like talk about that I didn't like touch on?
So I would just say, and I think it's great that you're pursuing degrees in STEM. And like you said, we encourage all, because that's what's making the difference in our country as we move forward, especially space, artificial intelligence, et cetera. But I would say, look into the military too, because they do help you pay for college. And the ROTC program at Berkeley, it's an amazing program that is there. If anyone has any questions, please come to Camp Park, so we'll talk to you. And we just share facts with you, right? Because at the end of the day, you will make the decision of what's right for you. But there's a lot of benefit of joining the military, whether you go full-time, part-time, serve 3 years, serve 33 years. You have a lot of great benefits. And then I'll just leave you with this final thought. Pursue your dream. Enjoy it. Know that sometimes you have some challenges, but that's part of life and it will only make you stronger. So, and again, just share your experience with other people.
That's a wonderful way to end my podcast. So thank you so much. It was a really eye-opening experience.
Yes. And I'll just ask Jim Jim, do you think there's anything we should have covered that we didn't?
Ma'am, I would say, using the analogy, one thing that maybe might help, like the analogy when you were talking about how the Garrison commander is like a principal, the it's just like the colonel is the principal of the base, the CSM is kind of like the vice principal, how he has to do all the, or she has to do, he or she has to do all the disciplinary stuff. So kind of think about it that way. And yeah, the STEM programs, the big thing is, and I think the theme that the colonel was trying to, or just to help with the theme that the colonel was trying to get across, is that the opportunities within, you know, a lot of folks might look at the military opportunity as, oh, I don't want to go somewhere and carry a gun or might come get hurt or something like that. But there is a lot more jobs and specialties and occupations in the military that don't involve that active engagement with an enemy. You know, the colonel spoke about engineering and nuclear engineering. Those same plants that she learned about at GE are the nuclear reactors that are on U.S. Navy ships. You know, those things are there's compatible things in the real world with electronics technicians, engineering jobs. So all kinds of things that are available, jobs that are available to the military and they're available in the military to support STEM type of pathways like that you're on. So good luck. I mean, I wish there was a lot of that STEM stuff that was available for me when I was a senior in high school or a junior or freshman, sophomore. So that's all.
Well said, Jim. Thank you.
That's it. So thank you once again for joining me. It was very like eye-opening. I learned a lot. So
thank you. And like I said, if you or your team members have any questions after, I'm here through July. So happy to entertain any questions you have.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Where are you going actually after?
I'm going to Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's the other side of the states.
Yeah, that's nice. I'll just be going to Texas for school, so.
That's awesome. Where are you going to school?
University of Texas, Austin.
Awesome. Austin is, so I used to live in Georgetown, Texas, which was about 30 minutes from Austin. I was stationed at Fort Cavazos, formerly Fort Hood, and Austin is a beautiful city. So I wish you all the best. I know you would do great, and I hope you will stay in touch.
Of course, yeah. Maybe I'll have you on my podcast again sometime in the future. There you go.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Antika.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of From Scratch with our guest, LTC Chalas, and hosted by me, Isha Shenoy. I plan on learning more about the world of STEM and startups in the future and hope you all will tag along. Bye.